Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Jim, great introduction for President Trump for the nomination. So what are your thoughts today? What was it like last night? What's the thing you'd like to center on?
Well, I mean, yesterday was incredible. I mean, the fact that they, you know, at first I thought with the VP pick announcing that early, it was really, couldn't figure that out because we thought that it would be in prime time later, but it basically set up the entire day. I mean, typically you do the roll call vote on Wednesday or Thursday evening. They moved that up, and I think the whole idea was to just condense the first day into where you did, you nominated the president, you elected you nominated your VP, and then you had the president come out, and which was an unbelievable, historic, I mean, the roof blew off the building. When they pictured him in the back hallway standing to get out, you know, onto the concourse down to the seating area we went to, the crowd erupted. Now, I had some preliminary information from the press knowing that, you know, that he was coming and some of the Trump team. They've got to let the press know. Interesting enough, because they want them positioned with their cameras in the area that the president would be. So that's where the tip-off mm-hmm. was. But the crowd started to hear about that, and they started moving to the area where the president was going to be seated when you saw on TV. But it was just electric. It was just such an emotional time.
So, Jim, your thoughts on the pick. You can tell us if it's, you know, a game changer, whatever you think. We hear that Burgum could have been chosen. It says something to me, Jim, about confidence. They think they're going to win because Vance, not necessarily on the surface, someone that brings you a demographic, a state, or anything else.
Well, you know, I thought the way you did too, Dom. And then the more we got into it, because I was been happy with any of the selections, even Youngkin. You know, the three that were Rubio, Burgum, and Vance. I would have been happy with any of them. But after the announcement, I started to get some feedback from some other people, and it made a lot of sense. And what they said is the blue wall. Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania. This attacks the blue wall because you got a guy in Ohio considered Rust Belt, next to Pennsylvania, very, very much aligns with the president in his America First agenda. And on top of that, he's younger, 39. He kind of relates to the people, but the big thing was the younger people. But the big thing was the blue wall, which I didn't think about that. You pick off, certainly you win Pennsylvania, he's going to be the president. I mean, we had Laura Trump here this morning. I got her to come to a breakfast and asked her to come, and she came. And then Speaker Johnson was here as well this morning. And it's clear the strategy is Pennsylvania plus one of the swing states. Now, they are expanding the Electoral College map so much that who the heck knows now. But so I see them saying, look, we're putting this, you know, we're putting our stake down, and we're gonna take, if not one of those, all of those. And if you take two of those, I mean, if you get Michigan or Pennsylvania, it's lights out games that go over. So I think Vance is a good pick. I was with him about a month and a half ago at a PO Pennsylvania POG event, and I got to sit next to him for a good 20 minutes before he spoke to the crowd. The guy's charismatic. He's smart. His story's incredible. I think that relates to a lot of people, his underdog story of raising himself up through, you know, I think he's a good, I think it's good. And I think you're going to see he's going to be a big advocate for the president.
Your sense of President Trump now coming that close to death, I don't think he's a guy that's going to change based on that. I'm apparently in a minority. What do you say?
Well, I will tell you this. I've been told repeatedly that he had a campaign or he had a acceptance speech written up in advance of Saturday evening, and he's torn it up, and he is now has rewritten that or rewriting that to be to basically be more trying to build the tent, get the tent bigger, and that he wants to be conciliatory going forward. Now, you know, you're always going to get a little bit of with Donald Trump. That's just who he is. But I think he is he's feeling very good about where he is, the winds at his back. You know, the polling's great. He was doing well after the debate, pre-Saturday night, after Saturday night. I think he feels that he needs to bring everybody in the country together, and I think he will. And I think he'll leave the derogatory type comments to the Democrats. I think I heard earlier before I got on you speaking, I think you hit it right, Dom. The Biden administration has nothing to run on if you take away all the derogatory lies they say about the president, from him being Hitler to, you know, put a bullseye on him to the threat to democracy. I don't know what they can run on and even
Jim, let me ask you, is there a sense, though, you are one of the ultimate, let's get it done, urgency guys. Is there a sense there, though, hearing the stories a day, now you're there at the convention, maybe not hearing as much. Now it's alleged there were three snipers inside that building where the 20-year-old was crawling on the roof and ultimately firing at President Trump. The incompetency is what I believe, rather than conspiracy, Jim. Is there any buzz there? All this gushing, good feeling and all is good, but we had Trump within a quarter of an inch, and you're a physical fitness guy, of being dead. And we're still going forward here. We're no date set, no hearings, nothing.
Well, it's funny you should say that. I think the theme for the convention and is that we want to keep it positive. We want to talk about policies, the platform, what we stand for, and that we're united as a party, and we've never been more united than forever. And though I think behind the scenes, and Speaker Johnson touched on this morning, that there are certainly concerns, and he didn't want to dwell on it because this is a celebration of what we're going to do when he's elected, President Trump. But there are certainly angst and questions about that, and he is going to get to the bottom of it. So I think there's two parts there. They just don't want that to overshadow. They don't want this convention to be about what happened Saturday. And by the way, we're in Pennsylvania, and that delegation, I've been interviewed, I don't know how many times, very few people have brought up Saturday night to me, reporters. It's interesting.
Yeah, well, you know, the conspiracies that are out there, Jim, and the incompetency of something, and let me ask you, too, you're the ultimate. You're on the president's, you were on the Trump physical fitness thing. You saw that on Saturday, right? And you saw some, particularly the one female. Those are not fit individuals protecting the president, a few of them anyhow.
Well, I mean, honestly, I don't want to disparage people, but as soon as this happened and he was going off the being led off the stage, I was yelling to my wife. She came down. I said, "I cannot believe that it wasn't she was female, but she was somebody who was 5'2" in front of the president, where you could see his face, and it just didn't make sense. You know, you've got to be at least is tall, if not taller, to shield him. The fumbling around, and it seemed like like you said, the fitness component for some of the female Secret Service was not up to what you'd want it to be. You know, again, it's a tough job, but it seems to me that, you know, hiring people for DEI purposes, this is a prime example where that's a failure. I do know some of those Secret Service people that guard the president. There are people that I see at Mar-a-Lago. There are people I know, the people I'm friendly with. And the ones he has working for him at Mar-a-Lago are just amazing people and fit and big and can handle any situation. But I was shocked. I saw the same thing you saw.
Yeah, well, you're the expert, Jim, and you live it and you look it. So, Jim, please stay in touch during this. Anything that comes up you want to talk about, congratulations on being the chairman, too.
Yeah, it's quite an honor, and I appreciate you taking the time today, Dom. I always appreciate being on.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3, from Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.